The lame duck Congress failed to pass the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act. Doesn't leave federal employees without shelter, though. Existing law covers whistleblowers and protects retaliation from managers and other employees. Getting that protection, on the other hand, that's a different story. Merit Systems Protection Board has released a report outlining challenges for federal whistleblowers. Joining us with details is MSPB Senior Research Analyst Sharon Roth. Sharon, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, your report says there are some specific legal requirements for someone to be called a whistleblower, and these are very specific definitions. So share with us what those are.
Well, there's a number of pieces to it. The first piece is what it is that the individual is disclosing. It has to meet a specific category of wrongdoing set forth in the law. If it doesn't fall into one of those categories, right there off the bat, the board will not have jurisdiction. But even after that, it matters who the employee discloses it to. Depending on the nature of the disclosure, such as if there's national security secrets involved, the individual is limited in who you can disclose it to. It matters whether or not you're disclosing something that you know from the regular course of your duties. If you disclose something that you know through the course of your duties and you disclose it the way you're supposed to do, then oddly enough, you're not a protected whistleblower because you're just doing your job. You have to make the report to somebody other than the wrongdoer. If you tell somebody that they're doing something wrong and they already knew they were doing that particular thing, again, the board will not have jurisdiction. There has to be a personnel action, and not everything qualifies as a personnel action. A lot of forms of retaliation, such as people simply being less pleasant to you in the hallway, are going to be difficult for the board to provide protection against. And then you have to seek redress through the proper channels. In order for the board to have jurisdiction over something as a whistleblower complaint, if there's no other appeal right and it's coming to us as a whistleblower complaint, the individual must, I can't stress enough, must contact the Office of the Special Counsel. If the individual has not gone to the Office of Special Counsel, under the law, the board just simply doesn't have jurisdiction and isn't allowed to hear the merits of the case. So there's a series of hoops that have to be jumped through under the current law, and we were hoping with this report just to help people become more informed about how the law actually works.
So, in other words, this is not something just for the average malcontent. It sounds like what you're saying is that there has to be a substantive issue in the first place, and then there's a lot of procedure to make sure that it becomes an actual whistleblower complaint.
Exactly. And the Federal Circuit has stated repeatedly that it can't just be, you know, a debatable issue of judgment where an individual thinks one that the agency should have gone one way and the agency makes a judgment call to go the other way. It has to be wrongdoing. There has to be a violation of a law, rule, or reg, or it has to be a substantial and specific danger to public safety or a gross waste of funds or an abuse of authority. So the smaller judgment calls of, I think my agency should have done it this other way, typically are not going to be protected.
Now, you listed a lot of things there. Some of those things would qualify a person as a whistleblower. Others would provide protection, would help them get protection through MSPB. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Can you qualify as a whistleblower and still fail that protection test?
If you don't meet all of the steps, yes. For example, how do I phrase this? No. It depends on how you're defining the word whistleblower. If you're defining it as having met the statute, then no, you have to meet the statute to be a whistleblower. If you're defining it the way most people probably think of the term, as in, I notified my agency that somebody violated the law, then the board still won't be able to protect the individual unless they meet all these criteria. And then there's one last piece, which is, let's say, for example, that you reported a violation of law to somebody who didn't already know it, you notified Office of Special Counsel, you jumped through every hoop that the law has, but the agency was then able to prove by clear and convincing evidence, yes, you did, you were a whistleblower, but oh, by the way, we really don't like it when people, you know, bring guns to the workplace and et cetera. If the agency can show that it would have taken that action, even if you hadn't blown the whistle, it's a high standard for the agency to meet. They then have to prove by clear and convincing evidence they would have taken the action. But if the agency can prove by clear and convincing evidence they still would have taken the action, we can't protect the whistleblower under those circumstances.
I see. So if you wind up putting yourself as a whistleblower in a position of some sort of a disciplinary action that would have happened anyway, like, you know, throwing a fit in the workplace, throwing a phone down the hall, whatever, then not that I know anybody who's done that, but that sort of thing, and you would have been disciplined anyway, that doesn't help you. That can only hurt you.
Exactly. But the important thing is to establish that you blew the whistle and jump through all the hoops, the burden is on the employee. Mm-hmm. Once the employee meets all of those criteria, the burden shifts to the agency to prove that it would have taken the action anyway. So while it's difficult to become a protected whistleblower because of all the steps involved, once you've proven all of those steps by preponderance of the evidence, burden shifts to the agency to prove, well, yeah, he really was a whistleblower, but we still would have done it anyway.
And we're speaking with Sharon Roth. She's a senior research analyst with the Office of Policy and Evaluation at the Merit Systems Protection Board. And in that research capacity, the law that did not pass, it was, I think, 10 years they've been working on this law, and it failed at the last moment because of, well, a lot of reasons. But in looking at the way it was written, did the board come up with a conclusion as to whether it would increase or decrease the workload that you would get later on?
Actually, we in the Office of Policy and Evaluation very specifically did not look at it because we have two missions at the board. One is to adjudicate. The other is to serve as an advisor to Congress on the health of the merit systems. And because of the nature of a law that would affect the board's jurisdiction, that one straddled the lines a little too much. And we have a reputation, we believe at least, for giving impartial information and advice, and we didn't want to cross that line. So we strictly spoke about the law as it currently exists to allow Congress to decide what, if anything, it wants to do about how the law is written.
Do you find there are a lot of federal employees who don't get what their, quote, well, not quote, who don't get what their rights are and who don't know what their responsibilities are?
We do, particularly when it comes to things like the need to go to the Office of Special Counsel. And that was one of the reasons why, at the very beginning of the report, we provide sort of almost a checklist of the different steps that an individual has to go through in order to be able to establish board jurisdiction. A lot of times, it can be just one tiny little step, but if you miss that one step, simply under the law, we don't have the authority to be able to help the individual. So we wanted to put as much information out there as we could so that people could make educated decisions about what they were going to do.
Sharon Roth, senior research analyst in the Office of Policy and Evaluation, Merit Systems Protection Board. Thank you very much for that update. A lot of detail. We appreciate having it.
Well, thank you for having us.
And we have links to their report as well as to all the whistleblower news at federalnewsradio.com.